I'm going to read from Isaiah 40. I'm going to be skipping around some of the verses, so follow me if you will. I'm going to read begin verse number 9. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Verse number 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in the scales and the hills in a balance. Verse 15. Behold, the nations are a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Verse number 21. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Have they not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Verse number 26. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out of the host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Verse number 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Amen, amen. We are serving a mighty God.
Yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the chorus, how great is our God? And I'd like to say this today, he is. He's great. He's greater than you and I can wrap our minds around.
Amen.
He's a great, big, wonderful God. Hallelujah. In fact, he's the omniscient God. All power. He's omniscient, meaning he knows all there is to know. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere at the same time, simultaneously. What a God we're serving.
Amen.
Scofield's heading of this chapter in his notes is the greatness of God and the weakness of man. His omnipotence is more than we can begin to comprehend. He's a mighty God. And I want to say this to begin with. He has not only been in control, he's in control now.
Amen.
Don't ever get it in your mind that Satan is in control.
No,
God still controls
right.
His creation. He's a mighty God. When he sent the flood in the book of Genesis, and destroyed all of mankind because of their evil and their wickedness, the Bible says that he spared Noah and his family because Noah was righteous, because he's a mighty God. When he called Abraham out of Mesopotamia, idolatrous country, promised him the Canaan land as an inheritance, and although it's now been 4,000 years, the promise still holds because God is a mighty God.
Amen.
He delivered the nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, brought them into the promised land because he's a mighty God. One day he stopped all the universe for one of his servants named Joshua to defeat the enemy. He's a mighty God. And as you read the Bible, you find that he's done miracle after miracle, exploit after exploit. All without end, he's still great and mighty. He does great and mighty things. He's a mighty God. We teach and we preach that there's nothing too hard for God. Jeremiah said, there's nothing too hard for God. We mentioned in the Sunday school lesson this morning that when Sarah was told that she was going to have a baby, she was 89 years old, meaning she'd have a baby next year. So the Bible said she laughed. But the angel said, is anything too hard for God? I want you to know today there's nothing too hard for him. We all agree on that. We sing, my God can do anything. My God can do anything.
And then I mentioned in the Sunday school lesson, Sunday school hour, and I'm going to preach on the things that God cannot do. Things that God cannot do. Somebody said, well, Brother Jones, he's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. If he did some things, he would not be God.
Right.
So I'd like to begin with this. He cannot tolerate sin.
Amen.
Our God will not, must not, cannot tolerate sin. Whether it's in the life of Cain, or in the life of David, or in the life of Saul, or whoever, God cannot tolerate sin. We're living in a day and in a time of permissiveness. It seems as if the lines are drawn. It seems like there's no right, no wrong. There's no dark, no black, no white. They're sort of blurred. The lines are sort of blurred as the will of God and the ways of God. And so many things are now accepted. Regardless of what the Bible says, people have accepted things that are sinful and say they're all right. I want everyone to understand today, God cannot tolerate sin.
Amen, amen.
I want to make it plain as I can. God loves the sinner.
Yes.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves the sinner, but God hates sin.
Amen.
And the tragedy of our day is a lot of professing Christians do not hate sin. God cannot tolerate, he will not put up with sin. If you hope to go to heaven and spend eternity with the redeemed and the glory and the glory of God, you cannot continue in sin. When Jesus had forgiven the woman in adultery in the 8th chapter of John, he did not go and sin no more. I want to make something clear. Every one of us can sin. No doubt every one of us has sinned since we got saved. Every one of us have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. When a man sins, he calls out to God for God to forgive him, and he will. Let me say this today. Please understand, God will not tolerate a man getting saved and then continuing the old lifestyle.
That's right.
We go out of the sinning business. We're no longer sinners along that line. We can fail. Many times we have failed. But we do not continue the same lifestyle that we had before. And God will not tolerate sin.
I thought, somehow God help us to understand what you're trying to tell us. He's told the woman, take him in adultery. He tells us. And so I want to try to get it across the way I have it in my heart and in my mind. When God saved us, he forgave us.
That's right.
He forgave us of every sin we've ever committed. I've had some people tell me, Brother Jones, you don't know how mean I was, how evil I was, how I've lived. They have the idea that God cannot save them, forgive them, because they've lived such a wicked life. I want to know God's hand is his arm is a long arm. He can reach way down in the hall of the pit of sin and lift us up out of sin and find God. He saved us, he can save anybody. Amen, amen. But when God saved us and forgave us and washed our sins away and said, now go and sin no more, he's really saying this, you cannot now continue in sin and serve me.
Amen,
we can't continue the same lifestyle.
Yes, sir.
I've already mentioned we can fail, we can fall, we can sin, but we have an advocate with the Father. It is not automatic. If you sin, you need to go back to the Lord. But keep it in mind, God cannot tolerate sin. I could say of my father, and he was a good father. He was a godly man. He believed the Bible. Whatever it said, he believed it. I've mentioned discipline. He believed what the Bible said about discipline. He believed what it said about healing. He believed what the Bible said. But keep this in mind, if you will. My father and I, as his offspring, I believe as the Bible teaches about God, I believe God hates sin. And until we get to the place where we hate sin,
amen,
we've got a lot of room of improvement.
Amen, amen.
Help us, God.
Yes.
Not to get used to it. I heard a sermon preached one time, getting used to the dark. You can be around sin so long and some filthy words so long or some action so long that the first thing you know, it doesn't sound so bad.
Come on now.
Isn't that true?
Yes, it is.
It's like on the television. There was a time when profanity came on the television, you turned the channel.
Yeah.
But we've gotten used to it.
Yeah.
A lot of things. But God has said, He will not tolerate it. My daddy would not tolerate us lying. I don't have us in your family. But we got away with a lot. When I say we got away, some things he was very lenient with because we were children growing up. You're not adults when you're 15 years old.
Amen.
You're not an adult when you're 5 years old. Or whatever. But daddy didn't tolerate lying. And if we lied and we found out we lied, there's a price to pay. And it wasn't monetarily. There's a price to pay. And we learned that some things just not tolerate. Keep it in mind today. Keep this in mind. God does not, cannot, will not tolerate sin.
Amen.
In your life or my life? A man that was after God's own heart sinned. God didn't tolerate it. God hated it. He loved David, but he hated what he'd done. He loved him so much he wanted him to be restored.
Amen.
So he sent a prophet by the name of Nathan to the palace to talk to David the king. Told him the story. Finally, the prophet looked in the face of David, the king David, and said, "You're the man. You're the one. You're the one that's done the wrong. You're thinking about someone else. I've told a story here, and you have really gotten down on somebody that did what I told. You've done worse than that man."
Amen.
God will not, cannot tolerate sin.
Thank you, Lord.
That's why He loves us so much that when we do falter, and let me leave this with you today, when we do falter, He doesn't laugh. He doesn't push us down. He doesn't condemn us. I'll tell you what He does. He reaches out His arms and says, "Come on back, I love you. I don't love what you've done, but I love you."
Amen.
He will not, cannot tolerate sin. We're living in a day when it seems as if sin is tolerated in the church world.
Amen.
Nothing is wrong anymore. No guidelines. We're saved now. We're redeemed by the blood. We're Christians. We're on our way to heaven. We've been liberated. We're free.
Yeah.
But God still has some guidelines.
Yes, He does.
And if we fail to go God's way, He's made a plain spoken. Must see it. He says, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." If I decided I want to go this way, I'm not walking in God's way. I'm walking the way from God. God will not tolerate sin. He will not bless me in sin. He wants to forgive me so that I can follow Him.
Amen.
Mark it down. I hope it sticks in your mind the rest of your life. God cannot tolerate sin. Second thing I'm going to mention this morning is God cannot accept anything as a covering for sin except the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Nothing but the blood. We are living in a time that I might as well confess, I never thought I would live long enough to see what some of the things I'm seeing in the professing Christian church. But God will not accept anything as a covering for sin other than the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. History tells us that there was a time when the Romans ruled, and they were great road builders. I've mentioned this before. My wife and I spent 3 years in England in the military. And did you know the Romans ruled England? And they were road builders, and there are still some roads in England that the foundations of the road are there that the Romans laid.
Yeah.
centuries ago. And in England, I don't know whether the Romans had any design about it or not, but there was a saying in Rome that all roads lead to Rome. In England, just about every major highway leads to London. If you come from the northwest, if you come from the northeast, if you come from the north, southeast, or southwest, it seems like every major order goes straight to London. But I want everyone to understand, every religion does not lead to heaven.
Amen.
Every man-made theory of religion is not going to make it to heaven.
Yes,
there are so many things that man has come up with about going to heaven. I read the obituary page every day. That's just a curiosity. I was raised here, and once in a while, I read of someone that I went to school with. But it's just a curiosity. I'm not looking for my name. In fact, D.L. Moody said, if you pick up the paper, Boston Globe or whatever, and say it says that D.L. Moody died, he said, don't you believe it. He said, I'll be more alive at that moment than I am right now.
Hallelujah.
We're not going to die.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We have eternal life.
That's right.
We might die physically, but brother, we have life forever.
Amen.
Thank God. But keep it in mind, a lot of people have the idea that there are many ways to heaven, there are many ways to God, there are many religions, and so all of us, some people have the idea that all the religions, there's some going from all religions. Other people say that's in the Bible. Some are going from all religions. That's not in the Scripture. Some religions don't even believe in Jesus. No man can be saved unless he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so people have the idea that if I do penance, if I do good works, if I light so many candles, if I say so many prayers, if I do this or I do that, I can merit my way to heaven. I mentioned a moment ago about reading the obituary, and I don't know the people, and so I'm not going to put anyone down. I read the obituary, I don't read all of every column. But oftentimes, just about everyone I read the whole time, they're better off now, they're in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope they are. Oh, they live right and died right.
Right.
But it takes more than dying to go to heaven.
Right.
God cannot accept anything other than the blood of His Son.
Amen.
Don't you know? Let me just detour a little bit. When Adam and Eve sinned, God killed one of His creation. He killed an animal and shed blood and skinned the animal so to make a covering for Adam and Eve. The real covering was blood. When Jesus died on the cross, I want you to know, when Isaiah said it pleased the Lord to bruise Him, does not mean that God was happy that His Son went through all He went through. In fact, He hid His face from His Son. And Jesus cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God turned His back when the sins of the world were placed on Jesus.
Yes.
But there was no other way for us to go to heaven except through the blood.
Amen.
God cannot accept anything other than the blood of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We can kill all the animals in the world now, and it will not suffice. We can sacrifice all that we want to sacrifice. It will not suffice. We can say all the prayers, and we can do all kinds of things, but it will not suffice. Only the blood of Jesus.
Right.
Nothing else can be accepted.
Right.
God can do so much. My God can do anything, we sing. My God is great. He's able to do all things into the world. We believe that. But I want us to know He cannot except any other covering except the blood.
Amen.
Can we stop just a moment? Are you glad for the blood?
Yes.
Are you really glad for the blood this morning?
Thank you, Jesus.
Where would we be if it had not been for the blood of Jesus? Some people say, I don't like that gory religion. Blood. I talk about that. It's the most precious. The blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Don't ever get tired of hearing it.
No.
Don't ever get tired of singing about it. Nothing could be accepted as a covering for the sins of mankind outside of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought all of my life we have sung the song, nothing but the blood. I thought about the third chapter of John, the golden text of the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why did he do it? Because the blood is the only thing that can cover our sins. To the same man, they must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's not by sacrifice, it's not by works, it's not by penance, it's not by repeating prayers, it's by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. When I was a boy, raised in the church, my dad was a song leader for a while, till some others came along that were more proficient. My mother was a piano player, long time, almost until she died. We would sing a song that they would still sing. Listen to the words. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blow that makes me white as snow. No other fact I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Another verse. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. No other good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank God, thank God, thank God for the blood of Lord Jesus this morning. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. God cannot accept any other covering for the sins of man except the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He cannot tolerate sin. Let me just throw this out. I'm going to come to the third part. When we were in sin, we said some things and did some things that we look back now and we are not happy now of the way we lived. Amen. And everything that we said or did, God saw it and heard it. And still he loved us. That's beyond my imagination. I thought of some things that I did, and I'm not here to elaborate on any of that, of the way that I lived. And now that I'm saved, it bothers me to even be around that type of atmosphere.
Amen, amen, amen.
Some things that it just nauseates you. And I wonder, I was so naive, I thought that, no one knew it. I'll use tobacco. Is that all right? I thought when I was married, our first year, I told my wife I would not smoke anymore. Why do you smell like you do with those other guys in the shop? It gets in your clothes, it gets in your hair, if you're having a hair. It gets in the grapes, it gets everywhere. And even now, after being saved all these years, I just hate the smell of it. Isn't it amazing? Things that you used to do, you thought you were having a big time. And now you can't stand it because you're changed. God hates it. God cannot tolerate sin, but he loves a sinner. God cannot have anything else to cover our sins other than the blood of Jesus. And the last part that I want to mention this morning, and this is important, God cannot, he will not, he must not ever take second place.
Amen.
He's going to be first place in your life,
Amen.
Or you'll have no part. Do you believe that?
Amen.
He cannot take second place. When I was a boy, we memorized the Ten Commandments from the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. And the first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He didn't say that if you do, we'll work it all out somehow. He says, thou shalt not. If you have a god before you, between you and God, you are not his. He will have first place in our lives or no place at all. I promised my wife, we got married on 25th Street in 1954. I was standing at the altar when she walked down the aisle, and we were united in marriage. I promised her when I gave her my hope, when I made a vow to her, that I would love her as long as the both of us continued to live. I made that promise. I made a promise that I would be true to her and to her alone. I even put that in there because the minister had me to repeat it. And you alone. I meant it whether he said it or not, but that's what I said. I was saying to my wife, Hilda, you'll be mine the rest of our lives. I'll love you. I'll look after you. I'll take care of you the best I can. I'll provide for you. I'll cherish you as long as we live. And I don't want to embarrass my wife, but I'd like for her to know it today, honey, that still holds true.
Amen.
I love you. Amen. Amen. And listen closely. How many times my wife and I talked, somebody ran out on his wife. Someone ran out on her husband. My wife has said, and we've talked together, I can't think of anything more detrimental than to be married to someone and them being unfaithful. Mm-hmm. It'd be hard. Keep this in mind. God will not be married to someone that's unfaithful to him. He'll be number one, or he'll not be at all. He is number one in the life of a Christian. Serve God. Obey God. Whatever he would have us to do. Whatever God says, wherever he says go, whatever it might be, if he's number one, we'll be like Mary in today's Sunday school lesson. I'm your servant, Lord. I'm ready to do your bidding. I love you, and thank you for loving me. Do we understand that? Do we all understand that as believers today? He will not take second place in our lives. I never have been able to understand polygamy. I don't believe it's God's will in the Bible. I don't believe it's God's will since the Bible days. I know some of the best people in the Bible had more than one wife. I feel sorry for them. When you love your wife, when you love a companion with all of your heart, how are you going to love someone else the same way?
That's right.
When you love God with all of your heart, how can you love someone else with all of your heart? Jesus says, for God says, I cannot be second place in the life of anyone. I love this church. I thank God for this people. You're a good people. And I love you, and I pray for you every day. I pray for you. And I thank God for has blessed your life and what God's done in the hearts and lives of many. But always keep it in mind, everyone, if it ever comes to the place where he is second place, we've lost out.
Amen.
Help us, God. Help us in all that we do. I imagine maybe that Paul had that in mind when he wrote to the believers in Rome. When he came to that 12th chapter, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye transformed, be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know that which is good and perfect, and then the acceptable will of God. Loving God with all of your heart. Amen. He will not take second place. And I thought about the God that was serving, how much he loves us, what he's done for us, how we ought to have gratitude for what he's done in our hearts and our lives. He's forgiven us. He's saved us. He's adopted us into the family of the Almighty God. We were singing a while ago, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Let me just, maybe you two are here for just a moment again. I'm glad that I was raised in the Jones family. I'm glad that I had Christian parents ever since I was born all my life. As long as I've lived, as long as my parents lived, they were Christians. That's all I knew growing up in a Christian home. Thank God for that. Thank God for Christian parents. But I thought along that line, how that as we serve God, He's done so much for us, we ought to be willing to do whatever He would have us to do. Give Him our all. Serve Him with all of our hearts. He's adopted us into His family. And surely a wonder to be blessed of God. I mentioned about I was glad to be a part of the Jones family. And I was, and I am. When I got saved, I became a part of the family of the Almighty God. That's a higher calling. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I would like to mention it one more time. The greatest decision a man has ever made in his life is when he decided to get saved. When he accepts Christ as his Savior. There's nothing like it in all the world. Take a moment to remember when you went to the altar, when you bowed your knee, or bowed your head, wherever you were, when you asked Christ to come into your heart and into your life, the greatest decision you ever made, nothing like it, nothing compares to it in all the world. In that moment of time, the sins were forgiven and you were adopted into the family of God, and your name was written down in glory, and you became a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ, a part of the family of God. Brother, we've got something to rejoice about. Amen, amen, amen. And so I want to leave it with you today, this Sunday morning, and we're going to have prayer. I want to mention them again. God cannot tolerate sin. God cannot accept anything other than the blood of Jesus to cover our sins. And God cannot take second place in our lives.